You're listening to On the Shoulders of Dwarves, a weekly podcast about role-playing games and role-playing gamers.
On the Shoulders of Dwarves.
Hello and welcome to episode 65 of On the Shoulders of Dwarves, a weekly podcast about role-playing games and the people who play role-playing games. My name is Ran Avira.
My name is Uri Lifshitz. Hello!
And today we'll discuss taking notes during the session, both GM and players. Many things happen during the session, and we want to remember at least several of them, both the GM and the players, each for their own reasons. The GM might want to remember things that the player did and how they can then use it in a later session to evolve the story. And the players might just want to remember the name of an NPC or a thing that happened that seemed out of place and they think might be part of a bigger picture thing that they will need to remember in the next session.
Oh, what is the actual plot? What game are we playing? What is the mechanic? Yeah.
So,
true story.
So we got this through our Facebook group where Tal Shiboli posted this question. I have a bit of an issue with taking notes as we play and still following what's going on at the table. Yay for ADHD. Would love to get some tips on how to take quick, tidy notes during a session that's not too disruptive for my non-existent attention span. If you think this is a good enough topic for an episode, feel free to use my question and name. Thank you, Tal. We are using it.
And thank you for actually writing down that it's okay to use your name and that you're not afraid of whatever your players might think.
So Tal's problem as a player, I should add, he also added later that he's a player because it's unclear, is that he wants to keep notes, but he feels that it distracts from his experience because he's so busy taking notes that he's not there, he's not at the table, he's not playing. So he has a specific problem here, but we will expand on it and go a bit further and talk about taking notes in general.
Indeed. Now, there are many things that comes to mind that differentiate the real world that we hopefully inhabit and the game world where our characters live in. Now, one of those is time. And while mere seconds may pass between one character's turn and the next, sometimes days or weeks or, God forbid, months may transpire in the real world between gaming sessions. Thus, it is sometimes a real problem to remember what happened in the game world, what the plot was all about, and who the heck is Count von Messer that we are supposedly need to deliver this sword of ultimate doom to. So it's very hard to keep track after everything that's happening. And one of the ways to solve this issue, like Tal mentioned, is simply to take notes during the gaming session to keep track. Now, what we would like to do during this episode is to give you a bunch of suggestions about how to go about keeping track on what happened. And more than that, I would say that if you keep track of what happened using notes or any other external system, you get more than just taking notes. You also get this amazing summary / souvenir of your campaign and what happened during. Now, basically, my response is a summary of a lecture I gave about 4 years ago in a convention here in Tel Aviv, Israel, that was titled How to Document Your Campaign. It was designed to address both GMs and players in order to help all of us to get both this keep track of what's happening and the souvenir aspect, the beyond just a utilitarian tool for your campaign. So the first thing I mentioned, and this may sound silly to some of you, was to simply keep track of all your character sheets, handout, props, notes, etc. I play in a campaign where each person is in charge of their own character sheet, handout, notes, props, etc. And sometimes some of these would get lost, which is okay for that campaign. However, in the campaign that I'm running, in order to avoid that, we have this one big folder where everything is kept in. And the GM always keeps that safe. That would be me. here in my house, I have this vault, and inside this vault, there is a folder, and inside this folder, I have all of the character sheets, all of the handouts, everything that happened in the last 6 years of gaming, and everything is kept safe. So if a player would like to look back on their notes or handouts or anything that happened during the campaign, they can do so. So this is my first tip. Just keep track of all the actual physical things, because once they get lost, a lot of the knowledge get lost as well. Point number two, let's talk about session summaries. It is amazingly helpful if you simply write down the main things that happen during a gaming session. How? You can simply use pen and paper and write down things that happen during the game. You can also send an email. Either write it down during the game, because most of us have cell phones, or simply take the time, 10 minutes, after the gaming session, simply write down everything that happened, send to everyone, and voila. However, I would suggest to, you know, use current technology and do it in a more collaborative way. For example, open a Google Doc where everyone can add comments either during the gaming session or after the gaming session. So you get more than one person's perspective. During the few campaign that I was part of that we actually did this, we simply assigned colors for different people. And you can simply look at the Google Doc and see all the different rendition of events. And pretty early on, we simply said, okay, every person can write down what they remember in their own color. So even if you have conflicting description of the same event, that is fine. It's perfectly fine to get more than one viewpoint of a certain event in your campaign. It's also highlight in a very nice way differences between characters.
I think it's really important and useful because this could be a solution to the problem of taking notes during a session. Because if you don't want to do that, you can take it after the session. And then you ask yourself, wait, but maybe I'll forget something. Maybe if I take it after the session, I'll forget the big things, the important things. So your solution is have everyone contribute. Whatever yep. I forgot, someone else will remember. And I think it's great, and it really helps also to keep everyone in the game, even after the game. But it does require everyone to agree to that and to want to be part of it and to invest some time. Doesn't have to be a lot of time. You can just write a few sentences, but something after the game, and not everyone can do that.
Indeed. I would also, even if you want to take it down a notch, you can have a specific communication group. We use WhatsApp. You can use any other communication app out there. And we simply send messages inside the group with stuff that happened. I think it's a bit less cumulative because you don't get this actual sense of people writing down in their own time in different order. I might want to expand on this specific event during the gaming session, but later on expand on other events. But it's much easier because this is a medium we all constantly use. We all text each other all the time. So it's a lot easier to simply text stuff about the gaming session into a specific group and get it over with. And I can hear some of you wondering aloud to yourself, but Uri, why should I do this writing down of the event if I can simply record the gaming session? Well, hooray for you, good listener. You can record a gaming session using your phone. You can buy specific equipment to record a gaming session. And you can use a laptop with a microphone to record your session. And we actually have a post that I wrote down a few years back about this specific comparison of all these options. So go there. There will be a link in the show notes. The main disadvantage of recording your gaming session is that most of the time nothing happens with these recordings. However, they're nice to have, and I highly recommend to do it because I fantasize about, you know, me being 60 years old, sitting down and transcribing everything that happened during all my campaigns. It may happen.
It is important to know that when Uri says nothing happens, literally it means no one is probably going to listen to it. Not you, not anyone else. Because unlike reading stuff, listening to stuff takes a lot of time. Even if you double the speed, like you might be doing like, then that might not be enough for you, because that only turns a 3-hour session into an hour and a half of a listening experience. And that's still a lot. So it's, again, it's great for keeping a souvenir, probably not great for actually keeping track of what happens in the game.
But on the other hand, it is amazing for players who missed a session.
Oh, okay. Yes.
The few times that it happens, I simply send them the recording and they listen to it and said, okay, got it, moving on.
Excellent.
This is the best solution for players missing sessions. Another thing that is amazing in my eyes is to simply create whatever it is you create art-wise based on your gaming session. Now, I have had the honor of playing with some very, very talented people. So events in our session became short stories, became comics, became paintings, became songs, became music videos, became really interesting things. And the minute you get one of those, A, they stuck in your head, and B, they're an amazing instrument to highlight a specific moment or session inside your campaign. Now, I can hear you thinking to yourself, but Uri, we've been playing role-playing games for a long while. Surely someone thought of an easier tool to do all this. And the answer is yes. There are whole websites dedicated to campaign documentation. One of these, which I'm currently using, is called Obsidian Portal. It has a Wikipedia built-in. It has a whole page, map, section, character descriptions. Really nice to use. There are simple Wikipedia-like websites that you can take and simply create a Wikipedia for your game.
I would be amiss if I won't recommend World Anvil. Well, great guys. They are doing a lot of work in regarding world creation, and you can add a lot of details, but you can also just use it to track your campaign.
An excellent example, because they're really good. You can even use Facebook or Twitter to document your campaign. Now, some social networks are a bit flaky on that, because you're not allowed to create fictional profiles for a fictional character, whatever that means. But you can create pages for characters or fictional character, and every player at the table could simply post things as their character page, or create a group where each one of you post as their characters. The possibilities are endless and hilarious. Eran, if you remember, I think like 9 years ago or somewhere around that, we did that. We create Facebook profiles for all the characters in our campaign and simply summarize a few gaming sessions, each one from their own perspective. It was hilarious, because creating a Facebook profile for your own character is something that I think everyone should do. I played a drow rogue assassin, and just imagine the moment where I sat down and there was the section of what are his favorite movies. And I'm like, okay, naturally born killers. Drow in 4th edition are basically Australian, so the walkabout. It's an excellent way of getting into your character's wackier sides. Now, we would be amiss if we didn't mention the fact that there are some game mechanics that support out-of-play creation and actually reward it. I think the best example would probably be the Ember Diceless role-playing game, where they have an actual section about players' contributions and how you can get more points, character points, for doing things. For example, keeping a diary, a write-up of the game written by the player from the point of view of your player characters, that not only create excellent documentation, you get 10 points as a player for doing that. And these points are things that you can use in play to improve your character.
I don't like that. I think it's nice. They have the good intentions, but it's an old system. It's from the 80s. and it's from when everyone had a lot of time to play because they were younger. This is a sort of a thing you reward people for having free time. This is not something you should reward people for. I don't think it should be used. It's nice of them to give this attention, and I think more games this day should be aware of the documentation problem and should in some way help people find the time and encourage them to contribute to the campaign and to keep notes in a way that is integral to the game, but probably not by actually awarding them points for it.
Valid point. However, I do think that if the GM has some way to motivate players to take more active role in documenting, in helping out, in taking responsibilities on themselves to improve the game, this is one of the tools that you should be aware of. Of course, bear in mind that a lot of the mechanics who use these things, like Iran said, take the players who have free time and give them a lot of bonuses, which create unbalanced parties, which create games that are not fun for everyone. However, I do encourage you all to think about.
A good possible solution is to grant one-time bonuses and not something that actually advances the character or give her more power. Like, for example, Benny's. This is what we do. In order to encourage players to answer the weekly question, even to write the weekly question, everyone who answers it gets a Benny, an extra Benny at the start of the next session. In Savage Worlds, you begin each session with 3 Bennies, so even getting another one is great. It's a lot of fun, and yay. And it's not granting them an advance, which is an edge, or raising your attribute, or stuff like that.
Or have the motivational bonus be a party-wide bonus. An extra 100 gold pieces for the entire group, or whatever. Point is, you know your players. You know what would make it more fun for them. So use that knowledge. Or if you're a player, don't be afraid to suggest that. Go up to your game master and say, listen, I have this cool idea. Why don't, if any one of us, help you with documenting? No, that is wrong what I just said. Because it's not helping the GM. This is everyone's responsibility. So go to your GM and tell her, listen, we thought it would be fun if we do this collaborative thing to document our campaign. And maybe you would give us a bunch of magic items because we're doing it. Or not, we don't care, like, woof, whatever. Okay, so this might be an excellent idea, and I think it would be very nice if it would be a player initiative. Now, in conclusion for my part, I think the name of the game here is accessibility. If the information is available and accessible to all the players and the GM, everyone will use it. And if it benefits them, they will most likely want to help document it and keep doing it. As one of my clerics used to say, the best healing spell is the one you actually have the chance to cast on whoever needs it. So experiment. Find what it is that works for your gaming group, whatever people respond to, and use that in order to document your campaign. It doesn't help if you have the perfect system to document your campaign if no one is using it. So take what works and try to lift that into a meaningful documentation of your game.
I would like to focus on some practicalities by way of the people who answered the question in the Facebook group. First, we have Jessica, who said that her technique is to separate the notes into categories on different papers, specifically people, places, event log, and rumors. She then keeps them in a Ringminder notebook so she can order them later. This is actually quite similar to something that I would like to recommend. First of all, categories. She uses people, places, event log, and rumors. I, as a GM, use names, important details, and character hooks. These are the things that I write to myself. She separates them into papers and then put them all in a binder. I put them all in a notepad. I usually work with a computer and a laptop in front of me. I separate them into different notepads, or even just in the same notepad into different paragraphs, so I'll know, this is the paragraph of names, this is the paragraphs of things I need to remember because of players. And then I distribute it into a document later on. It's my captain's log, into which I put everything that is of any importance, and the NPC spreadsheet, where I have a list of all of the important NPCs, what they're currently doing, what I need to remember about how they look and how they behave, and what other detail might be of any importance, like, for example, if they're dead. I also color code them according to affiliation, because there are like 30 NPCs here, and when it's just a list of 30 names, they get lost. I can't recognize and understand anything, so I have to color code them for myself so I'll know what is going on. Dasi, my wife, also has ADHD, and she's our designated note taker in our group. She, by the way, decided this by herself. She wants to keep notes, and it's important to her, and she does so during the entire session, every session. So it seems to be the closest thing to what Tal said, because she has to combat the exact same problem of not being with us, of being too busy in writing down. So these are the solutions that she found. First, she finds that taking notes on a phone is really helpful. It's like what Uri said before, but she recommends it simply for being neater and clearer. So you just click whatever you need and it's there, and you don't need to use your ancient scribbling device. I don't know how she does it on the phone. It would drive me mad to use a touch keyboard, but that's her thing and it works for her. I would recommend laptop. And second of all, it's really useful that you have a search and find functions. This is great for after the session, but it also is quite useful for her during the session. I see her using it quite a lot. A more important technique, I think, that she says that she uses is using bold text for names of places, NPCs, and missions. Things that are probably the most relevant information. She bolds them as she writes them. This is very helpful, because I think, in a way, this helps her not having to actually write down everything about a person. By the fact that she bolded him, she decided that he's important, and now it will be easier for her to remember stuff about him. It might be enough for her to write just, he has a huge nose and doesn't have to add anything about how he looks and his other outer characteristics, because she remembers the name, it's bolded. In her mind, there's enough around it now that is sort of set in stone now, thanks to her understanding that this person is someone that we need to pay attention to, compared to a name of some irrelevant NPC that she doesn't bold, and for all intents and purposes, he's not important. She doesn't need to read his name again. She doesn't need to remember him. His appearance is of no matter. So she can just continue on. I'm saying this because I think that a lot of note takers find it very important to make sure that they track everything that is happening. And that is not actually the case. And I think that by bolding, you tell to yourself, this is important. And it really helps you to satisfy your need for details. And by not bolding, you're doing the same, but to the other direction. You're telling yourself, okay, this is not important. And you know it's not important because you didn't bold it. You can count on yourself and your decision making that you've chosen the right bolding. Finally, she reads everything before every session. She also uses this to recap. She is our only recapper. She just goes through everything that's important from the previous session, and she knows what's important because she bolded it. And she also uses it to ask for clarification, and that's very important. Because instead of writing down everything, she writes everything that seems important, like he has a huge nose. And then she asks us for clarification. This person dude X... he has a huge nose. And then someone else might say, right, and this funny hat. And she says, right, and he also had a funny hat and it was important. And then she adds the funny hat. She forgot about it from before, but it's fine, because now that she used it during the recap, everyone can contribute and add more details. And then the notes are better and more complete, and she can use them now in further sessions to help everyone understand what is going on. Finally, I just want to say that as a GM, I also use the players a lot, because I remember only vaguely what is going on, and I ask them. I ask them directly when something is unclear. I just say the name of someone, and they'll start talking about them, and then I'll remember. That works as well. So I think we've actually talked about it in the recap episode, and probably in some other episode as well, on this technique and techniques like it. So that's it. That's how people take notes, I think. Uri, do you have anything else to note?
I think we probably missed a million different ways of taking notes, and if you're using one of them, please let us know.
Indeed, you can send us an email to show@dwarfcast.net or go to our Facebook group where apparently people ask questions and get answers, which is, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. And now it's time to take the load off.
This world is carried on the shoulders of the war.
This is the part of the show in which we talk about role-playing games in our lives. Uri, what do you have to say?
I had an excellent gaming session this week where in my current campaign, they discover that they're about to have a visitation, meaning a divine entity of some sort is about to arrive to the party location. And I have devised a very new and weird kind of notation to discern between different divine visitation. And that system is up, down, before, after, in, or out.
What?
Yes. It's basically mean up or down, mean do you get a visitation from a celestial being or down an infernal being, because there are heaven and hell. Before or after, meaning is this being from the New Testament or the Old Testament?
Okay.
And in and out mean if this is from the main canon or from the Apocrypha.
Okay.
Of those specific holy scriptures. And the funny thing was that because we didn't have divine intervention in the game so far, the players use a lot of the session simply trying to understand if this is real or if someone is pulling their leg, just saying, oh, an angel going to come visit you. So, you know, they're going and asking their contact, and they're going and, you know, they consult with this great wizard and saying, listen, we've heard that there will be a visitation, it's called. And he said, oh, up, down, in, out, after or before. And they're like, what? What? So I simply think that what I'm trying to say is when you have a game element that is fun to say, people will use that. That's like my new motto now. Simply have the thing in your campaign fun to say. Fun to say out loud.
Excellent. That sounds like great fun. I didn't have time to play this week at all. I didn't have any sessions because of many reasons. The most prominent one is that I am finishing these days the Crystal Hearts book. It might actually be out by the time this episode is out. One can only hope that it's early July. The final changes, final fixes to the book. We've already published the whole book as a single JPEG. Good luck reading it. It's very tiny, but it's there. And now we're only waiting for the same thing, only in a PDF and actually, you know, in pages. It's a lot of work. All of it was worth it. I think you are going to enjoy the world and the setting and the crystals.
For one, can't wait.
You also have a heroic character that you created for the book.
Indeed, and yes. I can't wait to see it in print or at the very least in bits.
Yes.
Yeah. Excellent. So, thank you for listening.
Thank you for voting for us in whatever iTunes or Spotify or whatever it is sort of form that you are listening to us. Thank you for giving us a rating. We very much appreciate it. And if you didn't, how about you go and do that? And we will very much appreciate it then.
Excellent. So, goodbye.
Later.
On the Shoulders of Dwarves is shared under Creative Commons by attribution non-commercial 4. Intro and outro are by The Cliché Dio, and you can email us at show@dwarfcast.net.
on the shoulders of dwarves.